Good morning, everybody. In for Sean Pendergast. I'm Sean Bajani. Seth Payne here as well. Final hour before we hand things off to In the Loop. 713-572-4610. 572-4610 if you'd like to be a part of the show. Been talking Rockets a lot this morning. We'll get back to it here. But before we do, shout out John Singleton. Getting a little bit of love on the text line. We were having some fun last segment. Which Astros could be football players? And a few people said John Singleton. And I just simply texted back, yeah, practice squad. And that's where I'd leave it at that. You know, play multiple positions.
You know what, though? Last year, remember, he slimmed down, and he did look more athletic and spry at first base. He would have. He would definitely be, as a football player, where he'd
early. Early he did. I thought he looked better at first base earlier last season than he did late. Yeah. It was just kind of, it wore on him. For a guy that doesn't play multiple positions, it's rough.
Yeah, sustaining the body transformation is tough in season. As a baseball player especially. They get good food, man. Yeah, yeah. They got a nice per diem there. Yeah. So, you know, no, Singleton, he's another guy that 100% you'd love to have seen. Okay, if he had trained as a football player. He would have had to be a running back or a linebacker or something. He's not that tall.
Somebody said, talking about Yordan Alvarez, where I had him as my light in the ass tackle. Somebody said, tight end, but like Gronk-like level injuries.
Yeah.
That's fair. I feel like that's fair at this point in time. The Rockets with a big day yesterday, man. On the heels of Kevin Durant joining Houston last week, and all the excitement abound there. It was, we've gone through the gamut. Could it be Quentin Grimes? Well, he's asking for too much money. Could it be, you know, various 3-and-D options? They were coming off the board kind of hot and heavy yesterday afternoon and into the evening, Seth. And then you see that, hey, you know, boom, Dorian Finney-Smith, who was rumored to be meeting with the Rockets. I saw that report, I believe, yesterday during our show. Well, to hell with the meeting. He just went up ahead and said, yeah, sure, I'm coming on. And then Clint Capella brought in an oldie but a goodie. The Rockets are absolutely stacked right now when you consider a depth chart that has, what, 5'6" wings that span anywhere from 6'7" to 6'11", the versatility. The Rockets have taken the league by storm, it very much feels like, just in a week's time, Seth. They've put everybody on notice.
And I think you always want to guard against homerism with it. And, you know, you and I were kind of talking earlier about it, almost having to brainstorm for the things that you don't feel good about with the Astros right now, or with the Rockets right now.
Yeah.
Because they've checked off a lot of boxes, almost to the degree to where you start thinking like, all right, wait a second, am I being overly jubilant about this? So you check yourself against what the outsiders are saying and what people around the NBA, whether they're former players or talking heads or what have you. I mean, the league is genuinely admiring what Rafael Stone has done this offseason. Mm-hmm. Initially when you started talking about a trade for Kevin Durant, it seemed almost one that would, like, you'd have to sacrifice so much of your young core potentially to pull it off. That is it worth it? Is it win now? Is it championship or bust? I think they were aggressive in the offseason, but they managed to land Kevin Durant for very reasonable compensation. But they're also rounding it out in such a way that it doesn't feel like, oh, it's either they win a championship this year or next year and then it all is lost. They're built to sustain whatever success they might achieve as long as you continue to get development from some of the younger guys. It's really hard to find a flaw with the way they've approached this.
The sustainability factor in how they are building and have built in recent years, that's one of the most, similar things or things that I would like in the Rockets to the Texans on, is they are built for sustainability. Look, when you believe you have found your franchise quarterback, when you believe that you have found cornerstones of a defense like the Texans have, you can build around them. And that's exactly what they have continued to do. Maybe not this offseason withstanding, but when I say this, really the prior two, in that I felt like the Texans had the very best offseasons out of anybody else in the NFL. I think the Rockets, just in a week's time, have had the very best offseason out of anybody else in the NBA. And look, it's very much Kevin Durant centered. It's Kevin Durant, man. And I don't care at this point in time to make this argument how old he is. It's about productivity. It's about what he brings to a team that didn't have that score, that go-to guy in crunch time. The Rockets, as disciplined, as hard-nosed, as tough as they are defensively, this is about as well-rounded, I think, as you could have possibly envisioned a Rockets team being on paper.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the comparison with football is tough sometimes because winning the offseason is almost a negative in football sometimes because you get too excited about the names on paper. And, yeah, you know, last year people were debating whether or not the Texans would have 3,000-yard receivers. That didn't work out all that
great. I know, I had that conversation.
Yeah.
I blame myself.
Well, you know what bothered me about that conversation, not to get off on too much of a tangent, was that it's not necessarily desirable to have 3,000-yard receivers. It's that you're probably not as well-rounded as you need to be. But as far as the Rockets go, what you get nervous about in the NBA is, okay, if you're going to lean into aging veteran superstar players, the real recipe for building yourself up in the offseason with excitement and then being let down is when you do it the way the Lakers have done it various times, where you just get, you're hyper-aggressive with big names on aging players and it just doesn't work out. They're not the same guys anymore.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like that because you brought in one guy who's an aging player but still playing at a lot of his historical levels on a per-minute and per-game basis. But he's the one guy that you're doing it with. You're not expecting him to jibe with two other guys who are transplants and coming in for a ring chase. That's where it feels better. And that, you know, he's at a stage in his career where I think he's been through integrating himself into new offenses before. He understands what the challenges will be. That part of it, I'm not nearly as nervous about as I might be, say, in football or with a different composition of basketball team.
You know, there will be other articles written about this type of thing, and people have this conversation. And I played some audio. Let's see, what's today? Tuesday. I played audio, I think, of it on Friday. It was Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce doing a podcast, and they were talking about the impact that Kevin Durant is going to have on the Rockets. And it was Kevin Garnett, you know, basically saying that, you know, Durant's not going to the Rockets to, you know, be a vocal leader. Like, this guy just does it. And he was saying, like, kind of like Paul Pierce. And Paul Pierce was kind of like KG's soundtrack in this podcast. He was like, yeah. And where Paul Pierce wasn't a guy that was a rah-rah guy. He came in and he put the work in. He was getting extra shots, working extra with the trainer, lifting weights, doing this, that, the other. He was always doing something. And that's what Kevin Durant, you know, has always done and will do. And I already feel like, you know, just the idea that you're getting a future Hall of Famer to come in at this point in time for a team that felt like it was so close this past season. Jabari Smith has already got his nose to the grindstone and was talking the other day about how he's trying to become a better ball handler and wants to become more physical and wants to broaden his game and develop a higher motor and things like that. Guys are going to get better around Kevin Durant without him even having to say anything. And what got me thinking about that was initially an article that somebody wrote last week after the Rockets had acquired him from Phoenix, in that Durant ain't coming here for, you know, leadership or to be a teacher or to be a mentor. He's coming to the Rockets to win. And you have to fall in line. And I like that on the surface coming in.
Yeah, I don't. I think the biggest like knee-jerk reaction that some people had was that they don't like Kevin Durant for whatever reason, and that he's I was really curious that a lot of people were convinced that Kevin Durant would somehow be bad for the culture. And I, unless you're basing that on him getting into it with Draymond Green or just whatever else, that hasn't been the issue with him elsewhere. Like, was he the guy that could transform the Suns without an actual talented roster or what have you? No, but it wasn't like he was the problem with the Suns. So that part of it, and more than anything, the fact that Udoka basically is rubber stamping this and giving it the stamp of authenticity on him feeling like he'll be a good culture fit, that's enough for me. Like, my trust in Udoka at this point when it comes to culture type stuff,
yeah,
is I'm not going to second guess him on that stuff.
See, I don't know that at the time. I know, in fact, I didn't know this at the time. I didn't realize anyway the relationship that existed between Udoka, the appreciation for one another, between Udoka and Durant during the season. I asked that question, like, boy, if the Rockets, never mind what they have to give up, but if the Rockets go out and do add Kevin Durant for whatever it was going to cost during the season to make a push, I don't know how well that's gonna jibe, because all I thought in my mind was Kevin Durant is, here's a guy that's going to want the ball, that is going to come in and disrupt something. Never mind, like, it should have been at the very forefront. Disrupt what? Because the offense is offense,
right,
here,
right,
with the,
yeah,
Rockets.
One of our listeners made the best point, which is he's going to disrupt what they're good at, which is second chance points. If people start yeah, if Dorian Finney-Smith and Kai and everybody else are actually making shots, and Durant's making shots, that you don't have these second chance opportunities.
Yeah.
I'll say I'm willing to sacrifice that. You know what a meek celebration that is when you're like, oh, we're so good in second chance points, because you know that's something that evaporates in the playoffs. That, yeah, I would much prefer them that not to be their calling card.
Yeah, but it's a good thing to have, right? And, you know, you like Steven Adams, who gives you the ability to create second chance opportunities. Clint Capella, for that matter, as well. But then those two guys taking away second chance opportunities from a defensive perspective with their shot blocking ability and their ability to hang around and grab boards.
I saw the comparison that I like with the Dorian Finney-Smith signing is somebody brought up P.J. Tucker. You know, signing P.J. Tucker after they acquired Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah.
As a compliment and a guy that can be 3-and-D for you.
Yeah.
And Finney-Smith's been a better shooter from three than Tucker in his career. But that's where in improving the offense while still retaining the defense, you're losing something defensively in Dylan Brooks. You replace him with Dorian Finney-Smith, who's not as versatile a defender as Dylan Brooks, but has length and is a really good rim protector, but that also is a better overall shooter.
Yeah.
And, like, so you don't lose a lot of the core of what you were good at as a team defensively, but you're adding more ability to space the floor and more actual, like, a better shooting option than Dylan Brooks, even though Dylan was great last year from three.
Yeah, he was. Dylan, I think, ended up finishing the season just under 40% from three. And then last year, Dorian Finney-Smith, it was a career year for him. He shot just better than 41% from three. If you take that year away, Dorian Finney-Smith is a career 35% three-point shooter. And it's 36%, just better than 36% if you include last season. Look, that's good, quality, efficiency from beyond the arc. That's what you needed. And I wasn't ever at all comfortable with kind of riding with Dylan Brooks. All right, there's something always sketch and uncomfortable about a guy coming off of a career season that's shooting the ball like that. And maybe I'm a little more sour on that because nothing else really made me feel great about the Rockets offensively. Now that you add Kevin Durant into the mix, and that a lot of attention is going to be on him, if you can create movement away from the basketball, he's going to find you. And the Rockets have options now. I don't know what role Reed Shepard's going to play, but I do know that when he was on the court last year, the guy could score, and he didn't, shy away from shooting his shot. So I think trying to say, you know what, yeah, this guy's going to be used this way, this way, this way, it's tough. Like we've said before this morning, I'm just excited about the potential and in more ways, in better ways than I had been the last couple of years, because that's all the Rockets have had is a lot of potential.
One way I'd like to try to think about the Rockets right now is in terms of becoming a bona fide, you see it on the court, and yeah, this team can win a championship. I feel like Durant immediately improves your offense, at least on paper, obviously. But what does this team look like? Can this team be a better team? If you take Kevin Durant, let's say Kevin Durant gets injured, unavailable. Can this team, as constructed without Kevin Durant, can you see a point where through development they're a better team than last year's playoff team with Jalen Green on the court. Like, so like, there's no Jalen Green, there's no Kevin Durant, but this is still a better team than last year.
I think so. And to me, it comes down with two guys. And you prefaced it by saying with the development, right?
Yeah.
Okay, with
yeah.
the development of who? Has to be with Amen Thompson, and it has to be with Alperen Şengün, and it has to be with Jabari Smith. It has to be. Well, with you stay status quo with those guys, I don't know that you're better. I don't know that you're better than another first-round exit, if we're being honest, because it doesn't solve you're back at square one, right? It doesn't solve the scoring issue. It doesn't solve the having a guy to go to in crunch time. You're back at square one, but you know, I think Alpi possesses a little bit of that. You know, give me the ball in crunch time, and I've got this for you. I think Jabari, you know, can be an excellent, you know, option, you know, to be a more efficient scorer of the basketball when he takes his damn shot. He got the minutes in the postseason, but he didn't take the shots.
Well, I'm just fascinated by what they end up doing with the two big man lineup, because now that you've got that out there, but also with Kevin Durant, who's 7 foot tall and able to provide some of the spacing that you lose when you've got two centers out there on the floor.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That part of it, now that includes obviously Durant being on the floor. But yeah, that's the biggest, like, I just try to keep reminding myself that there is still developing and there's still work to be done. I'd be disappointed if the offense isn't better in January than it is in November. You know, like you don't want to look at this as, okay, this team is ready to go, just put them in shrink wrap and here we go. Like, they're going to have to work on things just in terms of meshing, but then also the younger players continuing to develop.
He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast this morning. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL a little bit, and we've also got some more good stuff from Texans running back Damian Pierce. That's next at Sports Radio 610.